Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark, in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things, which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whomsoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You have revealed to us through your word the things that are to come, that you will come and you will have victory over this world and victory over Satan, and that you will judge all the people that have ever lived, and we will be judged according to our works or according to the grace of Jesus Christ. Father, may we avail ourselves of the grace that's available through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Last week, we saw Revelation chapter 19, which is known as Armageddon, the great battle at the end of time. It's when all the world will unite against God, against his people, the Jews, against his promised land, against his holy city, Jerusalem, and they will all be united against God. And Jesus Christ is going to come and lead his armies, and he's going to come riding a white horse, and he's going to lead, said, with the sword of his mouth. So by his word, he's going to slay all those that are against him. And the Old Testament believers are going to be with him. The New Testament believers are going to be with him. The tribulation saints who were martyred are going to be with him. And his mighty host of angels are going to be with him. And it doesn't describe anyone else having a sword except Jesus Christ. And so we're going to ride with him, but we're not going to battle. We're just going to be with him. Because the word of his mouth shall destroy the armies of the enemies of God. And they will be destroyed. And so all of those have come there. And so we see the great victory that they win at the God wins at this battle of Armageddon. And he's thrown the Antichrist, the false, and his false prophet into the lake of fire. Okay? The lake of fire is permanent punishment. They will never leave that. The lake of fire was established for Satan and his demons. That's what it was there created for, to be an eternal habitation for Satan and his fallen angels. And then now we're going to turn. We had Armageddon. Now we turn to the millennium. We turn to the millennium here. And it's most definitely 1,000 years. It's repeated over and over. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. Okay. But we've heard of the bottomless pit before, right? Remember that pit, or the word in Greek is abyss, the abyss. So that bottomless pit is there. I think that's what they've named the deepest part of the ocean. It's so deep, we don't know how deep it is. We named it the abyss, because it's as deep a place as we know of on earth. But this abyss, this bottomless pit, is what was opened earlier during the tribulation. And remember, the demons came out that looked like locusts and horsemen and afflicted the earth and this and that. And that's where Apollyon, the leader of the demons, came forth and came from this abyss, this bottomless pit. Now, a bottomless pit is a little bit hard to envision. If you've ever been through Carlsbad, you pass by a place that's called the bottomless pit. Okay? But I'm sure it's got a bottom at some point, but I wouldn't want to go down there looking for it. Okay? And they didn't let me, I didn't chuck a penny in or anything to see. Okay? But it's probably happened before. But to truly have a bottomless pit, the only two ways I can envision that is I can envision a place near the center of the earth. Because if you fell into a pit, the center of the earth, there would be no bottom, right? Because you're at the center of the gravitation of the earth, and there's no bottom to it, okay? The other thing I can envision is a black hole, okay? Black holes we don't understand very well. We see them out there in space, but we don't understand them. But I do know that once you fall into one, you don't come out of one, okay? It's just in. So we'll see. So God has great resources. He will be able to have a bottomless pit that he can, and it's a place to temporarily imprison demonic forces. That's what it's for. He had demonic forces there after all the world was so wicked and awful. God destroyed it with a flood. He imprisoned some demons in this bottomless pit. He later lets them out during the tribulation to persecute the unbelievers on the earth. And then now this angel comes down from heaven. So it's a heavenly righteous angel, and he has the key to the bottomless pit. Okay, so God has the key. He's the one that can open it. He's the one that can shut it. And so he has given this special angel, mighty angel, the key. And he also gave him a great chain in his hand. So this is a mighty angel. My guess, I don't know, my guess is it's Michael. Because Michael is the archangel, the great warrior. Okay. Gabriel is the herald. He's the one that announced the birth of Christ. He did this. But Michael, we know, has done battle with Satan before. They disputed over Moses' body. Okay. We know that when the angel was sent to Daniel to answer his prayer, that the angel was detained by the demonic forces in the area until Michael came and took on the battle and freed the other angel to go on to Daniel. So my guess is Michael has come. He has the key to the bottomless pit, and he has a great chain. And he laid hold on the dragon. Well, who's the dragon? Well, that old serpent. When did we first hear about a serpent in the Bible? Genesis chapter 3, the serpent came unto Eve and tempted her to eat of the forbidden fruit. Okay, so that old serpent. So this is Satan all the way back, that old dragon. Same one, God's archenemy from the beginning of the creation. Which is, leaves no doubt about it, that old serpent, which is the devil, Diabolos, the slanderer. Remember that he was in heaven and he slanders believers before God's throne all the time. He's always accusing. He's the accuser, the slanderer. And Satan. Satan means the adversary. He opposes God's work always. Okay. If you're not getting any opposition from Satan, you're probably not doing much. Okay. But when you start doing God's will, you will get opposition from Satan. That's him. He's the adversary. Jesus Christ is the advocate. He's on your side. He will plead your case with God. But Satan will oppose you in every way. Remember the book of Job? God says, look at my servant Job. See how faithful he is. Satan's like, oh no, he's just faithful because you're so good to him. Let me destroy all that he has and he will curse you. God said, okay. And he didn't. He stayed faithful. Then Satan said, well, yeah, but you didn't let me touch him. Let me hurt him, take his health away, threaten his life. Then he will curse you. And God allowed that as well. And Job wasn't perfect, but he stayed faithful, and God used that. So Satan is the slanderer and the adversary. He's always opposing God's work. He's the one who entered into Last Supper, then he entered into Judas and led Judas to do the ultimate betrayal of Jesus Christ. 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed a totally innocent man and his own master and God to the hands of the religious leaders. And Satan entered into him to do that. He's always opposing the work of God. The crucifixion, Satan thought it was his idea. He thought it was his greatest victory. But Jesus Christ turned it into victory over him. He never would. So he's the adversary. So this is no doubt no one but Satan himself. So this mighty angel has been sent with the key to the prison and a chain. And he says, and he bound him 1,000 years. This must be a mighty chain. Because Satan is a mighty adversary. But this angel was able to bind Satan in a way that he could not get out and throw him into this bottomless pit, this abyss, this prison, and lock the door. Okay. That's amazing. Satan has had free roam, he thinks, on this earth for thousands of years. Look around the world. Is Satan active and working on this earth today? Absolutely. There's no other way to explain a bunch of masked men break through the gates in Gaza and come into Israel. And the first place they go is with machine guns into a rock concert that was there to praise the Palestinians and call for peace and all that kind of stuff. They were on their side. And they came in there, and one of the big pictures we see was in on a hang glider or a parasail coming down there with the machine gun to kill thousands there. They broke in and they murdered babies and all that they could. They were as atrocious as they were trying to be as atrocious as possible. They didn't go in and attack an Israeli military base. They didn't go up against, they went up against undefended cities. They went up against women and children and the elderly, and it took hostages back, and they're using that now. And then we've got people all over the world calling them the heroes. Okay? Who's behind that? Okay. I'm not a big conspiracy theory person, but I'm a spiritual conspiracy theory, and Satan is the chief conspirator. That's why things are so the same. It amazed me. At one point, I was curious, and I read a few books. And I read one book that was written by an Amazonian shaman in those tribes that were those primitive animalistic tribes. And this guy was formerly a shaman in that. He was trained in that. He spoke to the demons. He did this and that. And he described the demons and how he dealt with them and this and that. Then you read something like Dave Hunt's book about the Indian shaman. Very similar description. You know, he did all his meditation and this and that. And then that guy, he came to California and he saw the hippies and their drug trips. And they did the same things that he did in his seances and trances and that sort of thing. It was all the same. Okay? I've read several. Their descriptions of the demons are very much the same. They do the same things. They're very much the same. And it's from vastly different cultures. It's not a cultural idea. That's not where the similarities come from. In India, in hippies in Berkeley, in the Amazon, and in American Indian shamans. But it's the same things. The demons do the same things. They take on forms of animals and people and things like that. They say the same things. They set the villages at war against each other. They curse the other villages, kill babies, all that sort of stuff. It's the same thing. And it appears in other places. Okay? In Israel, when they invaded, they took pleasure in killing a bunch of babies. Okay? That's no threat to them, babies. But they enjoyed killing babies. Okay? What about our country today? Half the country is fighting desperately to kill more babies. Our government absolutely insists on funding Planned Parenthood, the leading killer of babies in our country, and they will defend it to the death. We still kill babies. Why is that? And yes, it's a conspiracy because Satan is behind it. So if you got somebody who wants to kill babies, I know who their God is. Absolutely. I mean, I always said my youngest son, Andrew, never got old enough to vote. But every time we had an election, he was a one-issue voter. That's all he wanted to know was, are they for abortion? Okay, he was there. I took him with me to vote when it was Obama running for president. And, you know, that was all he wanted to know. Does he want to kill babies? And I'm like, I'm sorry, son, but he does. And Andrew was so adamantly against him. I'm like, good choice. So if you want to make life simple, you want to be a one-issue voter, that's a good issue. Because somebody that wants to kill babies is bound to be evil in other ways too. Okay? Now, I know people are ignorant, people this and that, but still, we know enough, especially in these days, with sonograms, with this and that, and we know the survival rate, you know, babies that 22, 23, 24 weeks. Many have survived. We've got beautiful sonograms from way before that. We know the heartbeat is way back about 4 weeks. We know so much. I don't think we can plead ignorance anymore. There's no fish stage. There's no product of conception, clump of cells. These are human beings, defenseless babies. And who wants to kill babies? Satan does. What did Herod do with Satan behind him when he heard that Jesus Christ was born? He killed all the babies. Satan's been doing it a long time. That's his game. Because he is the devil, the adversary. But it says very clearly here, verse 2, he's going to be bound. For how long? 1,000 years. Okay? That's pretty plain, simple, straightforward. 1,000 years. We call that a millennium. Okay, that's just what we call, right? The year 2000, they made a big deal out of the new millennium. Well, they were wrong. It didn't start until 2001. But, you know, don't tell them. Upset all their parties. Okay. A millennium, 1,000 years. Well, we had about four millennia, the plural, before Jesus Christ came. We've had about 2 millennia since he came. Now, I don't know when he's going to come the second time. But when he does, there's going to be 1 more millennium. Okay? Now, personally, I kind of suspect somewhere soon he's going to come, because 4 millennia before, 2 millennia after is 6. And a 7th millennium, that just kind of sounds biblical, doesn't it? 7 periods of time with Christ right there through that. I think it's likely. I don't know it, because God didn't tell us. His disciples asked Christ himself, and he said, no man knows. So I don't know. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we're almost to the end of the 6th millennium and we're getting very close to the start of the last millennium. And the last millennium is going to be vastly different. Very different. Why? Because God has sent his mighty angel to bind Satan for that entire millennium. That's going to make it very different. Okay? So for 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. So Satan will be chained. He won't be wandering to and fro throughout the whole earth. He won't be in heaven slandering the saints. He's going to be bound with a chain, locked into the abyss, and set a seal upon him. Well, Pontius Pilate put a seal upon the garden tomb, didn't he? It couldn't hold against God's angel. But when God's angel puts a seal on the abyss, it's going to hold. That he should deceive the nations no more. That's what's going on. I mean, I can feel sorry for some of our world politicians, because they are very deceived. They're responsible, but they're very deceived in what they believe. They believe that they're going to get together and bring in utopia. Nothing more dangerous than a powerful politician who's trying to bring in utopia. There's been a lot of harm done in that. I've been looking at a book. I hadn't started reading it yet, but it's called The Badlands. Now, everybody remembers World War II. You remember what? How many Jews were killed? 6 million. Everybody knows that number, right? But the Badlands, that's Eastern Europe. That's the area between Germany and Russia. It's the area that both of them claimed and had control over in World War II. Anybody want a wild guess how many people died in the Badlands? I'm sorry, you call it the Bloodlands. The Bloodlands. 22 million. 22 million. More than 6 million Jews. 22 million died there between the Russians and the Germans. They just killed them as fast as they could. Found lots of ways to kill them. You know, the concentration camps and the gas chambers and this and that, that was small potatoes. It was only about the last million of the Jews were killed that way. Mostly Stalin killed out almost the entire nation of Ukraine by starvation. Okay? And then they shot and killed and did all sorts of things with the other people on the lands. They almost completely wiped them out. And it was the overlap of two evil empires. It was where Hitler and Stalin overlapped. That was the most dangerous place on earth to be. It was safer to be in the army on the Normandy invasion than it was to be in the Badlands. In the Bloodlands there. 22 million people were slaughtered there in just a few years. Okay. So it was terrible. So these nations are very deceived. They see a chance for power, whatever, they go for it, and they don't care about the price of people. But Satan will be locked up for this new millennium. Satan will be locked up till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. So that whole time, Satan is not going to have any reign on this earth. But after that, he must be loosed a little season. His work isn't completed yet. But it's very clear it's 1,000 years that's repeated. It's very clear that premillennialism. I'll stand on that one. I don't think there's any doubt that that is the clear view of Scripture, that Christ is going to return before the millennium is established. Now, there's three major views on that. There is amillennialism, mainly pushed by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, amillennial means that there never really is a millennium, but that it's just since Christ has come and the church has been established, we're having the millennium here on earth for, you know, not 1,000 years, whatever, 1,000 years, give or take 1,000 years, whatever, you know, blah, 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 blah. Some may say, well, there's kind of a, maybe there's a spiritual millennium going on in heaven, but on this earth, there is no millennium whatsoever. That's because the Catholic Church says, well, they're taking over. They're going to replace Israel and all this, that they're the great thing, and so there is no literal millennium when Christ will reign. The Pope claims to be Christ's vicar and reign in his stead, so no millennium. There is post-millennialism, that Christ is not going to return until after the millennium. I tell you, the way we're going, I don't want to wait another 1,000 years before Christ returns. Postmillennialism is that the church is going to be busy taking over the world system. Okay, the church is supposed to rule and reign everything on earth. We're supposed to take over the governments, the schools, Hollywood, all these things. They've got certain pillars and all this kind of stuff that the church is supposed to take over. And once we take over the world, then Christ will come back and rule and reign. Well, I tell you what, if we're waiting on that, we're going to be waiting a long time. Take a look at Hollywood. How good a job are we doing at taking that over? Not too good. The governments, how well are we doing there? Not too good. We're not doing good bringing peace to the earth. We're not doing anything. So we're not going, we're in trouble if we have to get everything right. And then Jesus Christ will come in. After we get the world all cleaned up and perfect, he'll come back. Sorry, we're not going to get it done. I don't want to be a post-millennialist, okay? Because we can't do it. It's pretty obvious to me. We're doing a lousy job of conquering this world for Jesus Christ, okay? The Catholic Church has tried. They had crusades, this and that. That didn't exactly bring godliness to the whole world, did it? No. We are what we call premillennialist. In other words, Jesus Christ is going to come back and then establish the millennium. That's the only way it's going to happen. And the first thing he's going to do is send his angel to bind and imprison Satan. We're going to take out the opposition and put him away. And we've been reading about all the things that happened in the tribulation. The wicked are getting killed off left and right. God is destroying all those that oppose him. The armies that amass against Israel, all this, destroy all that. And then Jesus Christ himself is going to come back. But he tells you here that that's not the end of the battle. It's not over when Jesus Christ comes back. Because he says that the devil will be loosed a little season. But it's going to be after 1,000 years. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. So these are the ones that lived through the tribulation when the world was so wicked and there's so much opposition, but they refused at the price of their life to worship the beast or take his mark in their hand or in their forehead. They refused, and they were killed for it. But now God has them sitting on thrones with him to rule with him in the millennium. And which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, nor received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So, there's the choice. You can take the mark of the beast and eat for another day. You can refuse, be killed, and then rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, this is the wicked dead, those that did worship the beast, all those that have died without Jesus Christ throughout all history, okay? All those that died in the flood, all this, they live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay? There's two comings of Jesus Christ. We've already had one, and we look forward to the next one. There are also going to be two resurrections. Okay? The first resurrection hasn't happened yet, but it will, when the godly in Christ Jesus will be resurrected, the first resurrection. But all the ungodly, they're going to be judged. They get to wait to the end of the millennium. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We should not fear the first death. Guess what? We're going to get the first death. You can't escape it. Right? Well, they say, you know, two things are sure, death and taxes. Okay? Well, you can't avoid death, the first death. But you can escape the second death. That's the one you want to avoid. Okay? So this is the first death. Those who die the first death, we're going to be raised again to reign with Christ. It's going to be wonderful. When the 1,000 years are expired, boy, time is moving fast, isn't it? Boom, 1,000 years, we just passed it. Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Wait, what? God has a parole system? You got him imprisoned? Just keep him there, please. That'd be the way I'd think. But God's ways are not my ways. God has his plans and his ways, and he has a reason to release Satan again, because he's got some more judgment to do. So he's going to let Satan lead it. It's kind of like Napoleon. He just kept coming back. They exile him to an island, think they've gotten rid of him, and he gets off and shows up again. And France falls for him again. Well, guess what's going to happen when Satan comes back again? And he shall go out to deceive the nations. That's what he was doing before. Deceiving the world, the ungodly nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, everywhere. North, south, east, west, the western hemisphere, North America, South America, the eastern hemisphere, China, Russia, the middle, everything in between, the southern hemisphere, Australia, everything. The four corners of the earth. He's going to deceive the nations. Gog and Magog. Okay? That's going to represent, that's been the great enemies. That's like Russia and Iran, this and that. It's going to be the whole world. The whole ungodly world are going to come against God and his people. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So the earth is going to be densely populated. There's going to be a lot of people. The millennium, if Satan's been bound, then I think there's been no plagues. There hadn't been murders and this and that. I think the world is going to repopulate very quickly. Okay? Because it's been down through the tribulation. You know, a third of the earth is probably wiped out, this and that. But it doesn't take long to repopulate the earth. If you figure, Fibonacci was a scientist way back, and he was figuring how rabbits' population expands, okay? And you know, rabbits can really multiply. Part of it is because they come to maturity so young. And they can have litters fairly often. I forget, 3 times a year or whatever. But you figure that out with the Fibonacci sequence. Because you've got 2 rabbits having a litter every 3 months or whatever. But then you have their descendants having litters and this and that. So it goes up like a Fibonacci sequence. And if you remember the Fibonacci sequence, it's 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, and on and on. You take the last 2 numbers, add them together, and get the next one. And so it goes up very quickly. So I think the earth is going to repopulate. There's going to be billions on the earth again. And they're all going to be brought, Satan, they're all going to turn against, they're all going to do what they're doing now. They're going to turn against Israel. And they went up on the breadth of the width of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Okay? So the whole world is going to show up to battle. And this time it's going to be Jesus Christ sitting on his throne in Jerusalem with the Jews that believe, with all the Christians, with the saints from the ages, all there. But Satan's going to think, I'm still going to win this one. I'm not giving up. Guess what? Prison doesn't reform very well, does it? He's been 1,000 years locked away in the abyss, the bottomless pit. And it's a place of suffering. It's not a place you want to be. You remember when Jesus went across the lake and met the man that was possessed by 1,000 demons? They called themselves Legion. And what did they do? They pleaded with him not to send them into the abyss. They didn't want to go there. Not where they wanted to be. Satan spent 1,000 years. He just comes out madder than ever, determined to fight back. He does not want to lose, and he's desperate. He's fighting with all that he has. So they've surrounded the beloved city, Jerusalem. And then what happens? Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So this time, they're going to be on all the plains around Jerusalem, just totally surrounding, untold millions of soldiers come against it. Looks impossible. Then what happens? Fire from heaven destroys them all. This time the birds don't even have to come eat them. There's not going to be that much left. Okay. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. He finally comes to his final end, because there's no escape from this place, the lake of fire. This is hell for sure. Where the beast and the false prophet are. They weren't around for this millennium because God has already cast them into the lake of fire. Now Satan is done. God is not going to deal with him anymore. He's put him away forever. And he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. People these days somehow think that's too cruel. But look at Satan. Does he show any possibility of repenting? No. He never does. He never will. He will never change. No matter what comes about, he's going to continue. And so we got to bring now. People seem to think that annihilation is better than suffering, torment, and hell. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what it says about people either. Because guess what? We're going to get to that too. People are going to wind up in this way. So far, we have three there. You have the unholy Trinity. You have Satan, the devil. You have the Antichrist. And you have the false prophet. And they're there in the lake of fire. And it's a place of torment. Absolutely. But in God's justice, that's what they deserve. I mean, think about it. We talked about Hitler. Could Hitler be sufficiently punished? In this mortal life, there's no way he could be sufficiently punished for all his crimes, could he? You murder 6 million people, they can only hang you once. But suffering eternally in a lake of fire, that's punishment. It's enough punishment for any crime. And that's only justice. Remember last year where they were praising God because his judgment is just and right. And somehow in us, we feel that way. It's easy because when you see a murder trial, like the latest one I heard about is the, it was some girl that stabbed her boyfriend 108 times. They both got high on some really potent marijuana, which now they're going around. Unfortunately, our government is reducing the level of punishment for marijuana. They're reducing it from a Schedule 1 illegal down to a Schedule 3 or something, making it much more minor. But marijuana is not the marijuana it was back when Bill Clinton was inhaling. It was 4% THC in those days. It is now averaging 17%, and there's much that is available that is 39%. And you can get refined and concentrated up to 99%. And so this woman claimed that it was the boyfriend's fault because he's the one that got her to smoke. They sat down with their bong, their water pipe, and smoked this enhanced marijuana at 17% or whatever it was. And so she was in a marijuana-induced, I forget what they called it, but wasn't her fault. She couldn't help herself that she stabbed her boyfriend 108 times. Okay. And it wasn't even her. Well, it was her choice to smoke this stuff, but she was relatively new at it and couldn't handle the high dosage. The warning on the package says, you know, for highly tolerant people or something like that. It's legal. And that's what it caused her to do. And so they let her off with 100 hours of community service and a one-year suspended sentence. The boy's parents are not very happy about it. Now, the boy was doing it too. He's at fault, yes, but they're not holding her accountable for her actions. That's going to unleash a lot of evil. If people can go get out of their marriage. Because it's always been that it's like drunk driving. If you kill somebody while you're driving drunk, it's murder. You didn't intend to kill them, but it's your fault for driving while you were drunk. Okay? So that is just such evil that we're promoting in our world. I mean, I'm sitting here, it's like we want evil. It's crazy. We're trying to promote that. I've watched Downtown Sherman. And when I first moved here 40 years ago, I was impressed with how nice Downtown Sherman was. Because there's a lot of places. I've been downtown Savannah, Georgia. I've been downtown Dallas. It's not a place I want to be by myself at night. Okay? It's not a place you'd want to hang out. But Sherman, it was fine. It was mostly empty. You could walk the streets. I'd drive through on my way home. We live awful close to downtown, so I drive through downtown a lot. Used to be a nice, clean place. But Sherman passed liquor laws so they could have more liquor. You could have restaurants with liquor, and then now you can have liquor. And then they started promoting special nights on the square where the regular liquor laws were suspended. You could open carry, which was illegal, but they said, well, you know, it's okay. We'll do it for the St. Patrick's Day Festival. People can walk around and drink green beer, and they can do this and that. Why? Well, so the businesses down there can make some more money. So now there's always some party down there, and it's always liquor, and it's loud, and there's a boisterous crowd, and the businesses are changing. There started to be restaurants that served liquor. Now there's bars. There's one down there. What's it called? It's called the Ash and Barrel or something like that. Well, I know what that is. That means cigars and whiskey. There's a wine bar down one street. The day's going to come when there's going to be adult-themed businesses down there. The city's tried to discourage that, but when you open up the liquor and everything down there, that's what's coming next. And you'll have, well, there's empty buildings. We want to get some more businesses down here, make some more money. So you start getting strip joints and clubs, and then they'll be like, I've been in downtown Houston. There's an area in downtown Houston, it's the homosexual district, that the police will not go. Literally. I was down there. One of my friend's brother was a police officer. We met him at a donut shop on the outskirts of the area. There's lots of police on the outskirts of the area. They're happy to give them free coffee and donuts to keep police around because it's a rough neighborhood. And so one of the guys wanted to drive through and see the area. And they were like, don't go through there without us as an escort. The police officers were always two in a car and two cars together. And so we did drive through that area, just drove straight through it with two police cars with us. Okay? That's what they're trying to turn downtown Sherman into. I don't think they think that way, but that's exactly what they're asking for. They're going to get those adult-themed businesses, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. That's where we're going to be. And I don't think it's going to take very much longer. And it makes me sick to see it like that. But that's what they're asking for. that the love of money is the root of all evil. That's where we're going. So there's going to be punishment for all this, forever and ever. So I'm going to stop right there because this moves very quickly. We're going to go from right now, we've seen the millennium established. Okay, millennium, that's going to be a great time. I've always looked forward to the millennium because I always wanted to pet a tiger. But I'm waiting for the millennium. I'm not doing it now. Okay. I know there's places you can go and pet tigers, but no thank you. I'm going to wait for the millennium when the wolf and the lamb can lie down together. And a little child shall lead them. And when the child can put his hand on the venomous snake's den and be safe and this and that. That I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to it. That's the millennium. When it's going to be back like it was in the Garden of Eden. And established. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a great time. I'm going to enjoy that greatly. Satan is going to be banned. We're not going to have all this horrible stuff going on worldwide. But guess what? There's still going to be lost people. Untold millions of lost people. Because when Satan goes forth to deceive them, they're all going to come armed against Jesus Christ. Because they have been hating it. They've been chafing at the rule of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he made them be good. They don't like it. Just try that now. Just try. We can start up a petition to overturn the liquor by the drink laws. We can do that. That's how they did them a few years back. That's how they got liquor by the drink, right? Walmart and a few other businesses came in and hired people from out of town to come in and get people to sign petitions. And then we had an election and people voted and they voted and voted it in. Okay? It can be overturned. Matter of fact, Sherman did once. Sherman was wet many years, way, way back. I don't know the years. But then the citizens voted it out. And then Sherman was dry for many, many years. We could do that again. If you live in Sherman. But you can do that in other places. Tom Bean stayed dry for a long time. They're not anymore. It could be overturned. But you rarely see petitions the other way. You know how much flack would go on if we started a petition to outlaw liquor by the drink? The businesses would throw a fit. We're losing money. Okay. Just up the street here. If you drive up north towards 56... You pass an elementary school on the right, and there used to be a gas station there. There's nothing left but the pumps. They tore the rest of it down. They went out of business because they didn't get a liquor license because they were next door to an elementary school. And so they wouldn't give them the liquor license. And they went before the board and said, unless you give us a liquor license, we're going out of business because we're not making as much money as everybody else is. Well, they'd been in business for years before that. But then suddenly, they said, we can't do business here. We don't want to do business if we can't sell liquor. And there's a liquor store just up across 56, right next to the donut store. Okay. But you will get a lot of opposition. I don't want to discourage you from doing it. I'm with you. If you're ready to try to overturn it. We need to fight back, but you will get opposition. The lost chafe under the conditions of having to be good. They don't like it. Because why? Their God, their father is Satan, the father of lies. They do not like having to be good. Forced to be good, that's horrible. And look at our society. We're so much into all this personal freedom. You know, that's the way they're selling everything. The abortion issue, the transgender issue, the marijuana issue. Personal freedom. It's nobody's business but mine. I can do anything I want. Well, the only one I go for on that is I even think suicide should be illegal except for people that are planning to kill somebody else. Then I would legalize suicide for all mass shooters and people that want to get an abortion. Just shoot yourself first. I guess if it's a mother for abortion, then you're taking two out. Sorry, that's a murder. You can't do it then either. Okay. Life isn't yours to give. It's not yours to take away. People don't want to have to be good. We want to do anything we want. But that's Satan, isn't it? What did he tell Eve in the garden? In the day that you eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be as God, knowing good from evil. In other words, I get to decide for myself what's good and what's not. I get to choose. That's the way we are. We need to choose what we think we can choose whatever we want. Like, sorry, God is the definition of good. He's already defined it. We don't get to redefine it. Just like there's so many in churches that say, well, we don't preach the Old Testament, the mean, cruel, murderous God of the Old Testament. We preach the loving, accepting Jesus of the New Testament. Well, guess what? We don't get to pick. God defines good. He's already given it to us in His laws, in His ways. God is the definition of good. He is truly good. Even Jesus said, there's no one good except the Father. He gets to define it. We can't redefine good saying, well, this is Christianity. Okay, sorry. Doesn't work. The Methodists just redefined it big time last week. When they finally did, we knew they were doing it because all the conservatives already left the Methodist Church. But I saw a picture today showing all these people in a church building, clearly. They were all wearing rainbow colors and stripes. I love rainbows, but real rainbows, not LGBTQ rainbows, wearing that. And they were just cheering and yelling and having a wonderful time because they voted to go totally, completely for the LGBTQ agenda. And they were so happy about it. At least they thought they were. Yeah, just kind of sickening. Okay, and it's the way it's going. They think we've got freedom, we're great, we're wonderful, we're going to do this. They're just totally rebelling against God. And that's what Satan has done from the beginning. He has. And so here's the millennium. Amazing time. Christ is going to reign. They're going to have to be good. But guess what? Once they turn Satan loose again, it's going to all fall apart. They're going to all turn back. Very quickly. And that's what we're going to hear about next. The only thing missing was the opportunity to do evil. But first opportunity they get, they're going to take it. And that's the way it is.